step, your next foot. Let me go back and review something that's happened over the last 20 minutes or so. The utterance in tongues that Pastor Kim gave, and that may be foreign to some of your experience. It's not foreign to biblical New Testament practice, but tongues and interpretation of tongues are only two of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians 12, but they're valid. So through tongues, Bible speaks of that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Bible pattern is being filled with the Holy Spirit is accompanied with speaking in tongues. But in the public assembly, as it was then, when tongues were given, then an interpretation should follow that clarifies what was being said in the Spirit. God made clear to us in English. Waymaker, miracle worker. Hallelujah. You know, one of the miracles that I've watched during this time of prayer and fasting, young lady, never led anybody to Jesus, prayed with anybody to receive the Lord in her whole life. In these last 2 weeks, two different people prayed with, they're weeping and they're choosing to give their heart and lives to the Lord. I'm telling you, that's the greatest miracle. Now, I believe God wants to do healing miracles. Healing just applies while we're in this physical body on this side of eternity. Salvation miracles, that applies throughout eternity. Amen. We're just going to say, Lord, we want to be open to all of your miracles, all of your work and all these things. Oh, praise God. Somebody give God one shout of praise in this place. Lord, we love you. We love you. Lord, let us be God chasers. Let our hearts be those that pursue you. And when distractions come and diversions come, and when discouragement comes, Lord, let us still stay focused on you, looking to Jesus, the author, the starter, and the finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Glory. Wow. I'm sure glad I came to church this morning. I don't know how y'all feel, but I'm really glad that I'm here in the presence of God with people who are loving and worshiping Jesus. What power of God is available right there. I love what Jack said when he graduated from the house where Jesus shines. Never heard this in this kind of context. He said something like, thank you for giving us a new beginning and a happy ending. Ah, that threw that way over into eternity realm, doesn't it? It's not just about getting started. Yeah, thank you for giving us a new season, new change. And man, I love that because I'm already looking at my happy ending. And the grace of God's going to cover me in these in-between times. How about you? Amen. This morning is a really unique kind of service. Wow. I just got to take a breath a second. Whew. The message this morning is different than is taking place. You can bring the lights back up if you want. But the message this morning is different than I do maybe 51 or however many weeks a year that I'm behind this pulpit. Most of the time I am. But this morning is once a year we have Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, along with churches across our nation that does this. This is an important time this morning, I believe, of not one thing I want to see accomplished is I want to teach and equip and prepare believers. And I want to see God bring hope and healing into hearts and lives this morning. I really believe that. This week commemorates, not celebrates, but commemorates the 47th anniversary of the infamous Roe versus Wade decision that helped legalize abortion in America in 1973. And the commemoration of what began the legal execution of preborn children in the womb, and so we go back in light of this again. This one Sunday a year, that such as we've done for about the last 15 years. But I want to make sure that you know if that's in your past, don't feel uneasy right here or any of that, because today's not just of us getting information and equipping and training. But today's a day for spiritual transactions to take place as God releases healing and people are going to, I believe, come into a dimension of forgiveness that they maybe they've not known before. See, if you've been involved in an abortion one way or another, whether you're a woman who's experienced that or one who's partnered with a friend help making that horrible decision, or you're a man that's been involved in that, I believe there's restoration beyond that event in your life. And I believe the grace of God is here powerfully for transformation. Don't leave early this morning. I edited down and edited down and took out so many things out of this sermon. So I'm giving you the edited version. Otherwise, be here to like 1 o'clock or something. But I'm telling you, don't leave before hearing an amazing woman's testimony near the end of this service, one that brings hope and just. You just don't miss this. Doing some research again for this message this morning. I want to stay current. I want to see where things are, and so I can bring right information to you. It may shock some people, but statistically, sitting in this room this morning, statistically, there are between 25 and 50 women who have had an abortion, going by statistics. I don't want to, and for those that have had that, again, we're offering hope. We're not going to beat you up. We're going to talk to a church full of people, though, also some that, I read a statistic that's so troubling to me. 43% of women who have had abortions said that they attended church monthly or more at the time of their abortion. What that tells me is a lot of pulpits are being silent about this issue. Because if I don't talk about abortion, then if you're here week after week and you see that as a pattern, then you can either assume that abortion doesn't matter to God or it doesn't matter to us. And I'm telling you, because it matters to God, it matters to us too. And even if you are in the midst of a crisis, unexpected, unplanned pregnancy, our embrace is towards you. And I don't want to see you become one that's pressured into making a decision that will cause a lifetime of regrets again. But this morning is help. If that's been your experience, help to begin your process in the journey of healing. So much more. This thing is so much more than a political issue. Yes, it's touted and proclaimed on both directions as a political issue, but it's so much more than that, so much more than a social issue. This issue of the value of life is a moral and a spiritual issue. Can I hear one witness in the house that agrees with that? Some people who support abortion quickly dismiss the subject of abortion. They just kind of put a hand up, talk to the hand kind of gesture, almost verbally, and they say, well, it's legal, so it's okay. So since it's legal, why fight it? And we could go through, and I have in some past Sundays like this done this. We could do a historical comparison, and I'm not going to go deeply into that this morning, but let me touch on one aspect of the history of right and wrong legally and how that panned out. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day in our nation. And a leader in the civil rights movement that helped overturn so many things that were unjust. See, history concerning Martin Luther King and the era in which he lived points us back to a time in America where you could be treated as inferior simply because the pigmentation of your skin was darker than somebody else's. And all of us here should see that those decisions, opinions, and laws there were wrong. Amen. Should be a strong amen, and it was here. But there were people in that day who said, hey, it's legal, and they hid their prejudice behind unjust laws. And so it is today. Finally, back then, unjust rulings and laws finally were overturned, but they were only overturned when some people rose up with the will to oppose what was wrong then. And even though it had been declared right by man's law, I want to remind you in this church that the United States Supreme Court is not the ultimate Supreme Court. Our God reigns. It cannot change man's decrees cannot change God's righteous decrees. Whether it's abortion or it's a redefinition of marriage or whatever it is that conflicts with God's word, when all is said and done, this is what's going to stay standing. This is what, my opinion don't matter that much, but God's opinion matters like supremely. Can I say that? Today, again, I want to help us as an army of believers to come against that horrible injustice that is being done against the preborn, unborn Americans, even at this personal and grassroots level. I've spoken on the steps of the Capitol in Austin and about this issue along with others and the governor, a previous governor and all that stuff. But I'm not talking about us all marching to Austin or marching to Washington, D.C. right now. I'm talking about where we live. How can we make a difference where we are? Because you got relatives, you got friends, you got people that God may put into your path that you need to have answers for. And I don't want to leave you ill-equipped. As a pastor here, we care about what happens in this community and in our region and the people that we have influence over. Amen. Do we, church? Yeah, absolutely we do. When I saw that most current, again, statistics would say that 1 out of 5 pregnancies, babies that are conceived, end in abortion now, 18%. About 1 out of 5 babies that are killed. Since 1973, statistics were higher than that, but that's more the current. So if I could, let me just see everybody's hand that was born after 1973. Ladies, we're not trying to calculate your age. We're just trying to, after 1973, you were born. Then if I could count off 1, 2, 3, 4, and then eliminate you. 1, 2, 3, 4, and eliminate you. 1, 2, 3. You see what I'm saying? You are a survivor. If you are alive today, you're a survivor of a culture that is so abortion-minded. Politically, it has gone so crazy. It's pushed to the limit of how old does a baby have to be almost before we can still legally kill it out of the womb. It's absurd. But there are people that still have some godly sense and some moral sense, and I trust I'm talking to some of them this morning. Amen. Some would say, when I ask the question, what makes this any concern of the church, of Christians, what's happening this way? Some would say, I've been told, you know, you need to mind your own business. I want to say something. Well, I want to quote something. Jesus said something in Matthew 22:39 that's pertinent to this. He said this, if you'll read it with me, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Since I believe that command includes my preborn neighbors, that means this is my business. It is my business in our culture and our society, among those that I can have influence over and you can have influence over, to protect those. And to actually, beyond that, look at Proverbs 24:11. If you have been looking for a reason to get involved in this at a higher level than maybe you have, Proverbs 24:11, God said, rescue those who are unjustly sentenced to die. Say it with me. Save them as they stagger to their death. Don't excuse yourself by saying, look, we didn't know. For God understands all hearts and he sees you. He who guards your soul knows you knew. He will repay all people as their actions deserve. Drop down to Proverbs 31:8. He says, open your mouth for the speechless, in the cause of all who are appointed to die. When about every other week I watch mothers, young mothers, most of the time young mothers, carrying their preborn babies in the womb and marching them to an appointment at Planned Parenthood where that child is scheduled for execution, it breaks my heart. I can't fully express that, probably verbally, but I see what God said. He said, open your mouth for the speechless. In the cause of all who are appointed to die, they make appointments there. Verse 9, open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. When I watched that guy several weeks ago who had apparently, it wasn't a kid, this was an older woman that had gone in of childbearing age yet, but actually her father came over and speak with us. And as he spoke with us, and we shared truths like this, and another brother standing at the in the driveway, and as we prayed over him, he didn't indicate, okay, I'm fully committed. I'm going to be the hero today. I'm going to save this grandbaby. And he didn't indicate any of that. We did what we could do. Brother next to me said, can we pray for you? Can I pray for you? He asked him that. And we did. And that guy walked in, and about 5 minutes later walked out with that woman. I said, yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I don't know the end of all that story. We don't know the end of a bunch of them that may drive away or whatever. But I know that God's told us to do this. He didn't say, now if you get favorable results every time you speak, you do this. He just said, open your mouth for the, judge righteously, plead the cause of the poor and needy. Let me ask you this. Do you believe that preborn children have the right of protection, the same right of protection that other Americans enjoy? Yeah, I believe that. Maybe we first should be sure whether or not we can even establish whether or not really a preborn baby is a person. So what is the preborn? Some would question that you can't really establish the personhood of a preborn baby. But let me just do a quick survey here. I think it will add clarity. As I look across this room, how many of you in here were once preborn babies? Those of you that couldn't raise your hand, what were you before you were born? I suggest to you that 100%, not only in this room, but in the world of people that could raise their hand were preborn babies. Yeah, that's pretty easy. That's elementary, I think. But see, we have inherent value. You have inherent value, not because of your function, not because of your talent or ability or your contributions to a world society. You have value because you were created in the image of the Creator, image of God. Genesis 5 verse 1, the second half of that says, when God created mankind, He made them in the likeness of God, the similitude, or it means to resemble God. He created them, male and female, and blessed them. Now, I want to share with you just a beautiful 3.5 minute video or so. Some years ago, I'd shared this, but it shows you the development of life. The miracle of life is actually the name of this little presentation. It chronicles the baby's development. Watch this as we... I may go ahead and read the captions. They're pretty simple. What should I do? Is this a fetus or a baby? Fetus is just Latin for the word baby. When does life really begin? You can crank the music up a little. Do you know about the miracle of life? This is more than a biology lesson, church. A unique human being's DNA is created at conception. Human DNA that's never existed before and will never be repeated again, that individuality. At the moment of conception, all the baby's physical traits, sex, hair color, eye color, have already been determined by that DNA. An unborn baby's heart starts to beat only 22 days after conception, actually 18 to 22 days, before most women even know they're pregnant. In week three, by week three, you can see her eyes and ears. At week six, she has fingers and toes. Week 6 through 11, she'll grow 5 times in size. By the 11th week, she can smile, frown, wiggle her fingers and toes, and even suck her thumb. See that in the ultrasound. As soon as thumb sucking begins, the baby tends to show a clear preference for either the right or the left thumb. Isn't that incredible? 11 weeks. A baby in the womb moves 50 times or more each hour. A lot of movement. Pregnant women can attest to rapid eye movement sleep, which likely means that babies dream even before they're born. After 6 months of pregnancy, everything has developed and is functioning as it would.